This podcast is part of the C-Suite Radio Network, turning the volume up on business.
Welcome to the Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer. Join us as Deb talks with her guests, experts in their fields, as they share real-life stories and techniques to power up your business.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And today we're going to have so much fun, and I was just thinking as I was saying good morning, I'm recording it, and this is afternoon. And bless our guest, it is 5:30 in the morning for her where she is recording this. So she really, really wants to share her information with you, which is so special because it really is going to be great information. So please join me in welcoming Liana Allison to our program today.
Thank you, Deb. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, let me tell people just a little bit about you and then we'll jump into this because I am very excited to talk about it. And I'm saying that on purpose. You'll see why in a moment. So Liana, see, I knew I was going to say your name wrong. Liana Allison has focused the last 20 years of her life on understanding her emotional nature to stop it being a hindrance and has now turned it into a superpower of leadership and self-awareness. She has come from an outback sheep and cattle station in Australia where she learned to shut down her true nature to now being an international award-winning empathic leadership coach and mentor. From her study of many modalities, she uses her innate intuitive abilities and extensive knowledge of how the human mind and emotions work to develop in-depth emotional mastery programs. It is her journey through her own emotional mastery that has inspired her to step up to help other women to be fully who they are capable of being. So again, welcome.
Thank you, Deb. That sounded impressive. I didn't recognize myself.
You know, it's always fun when we hear somebody else say our bios. And we'll talk in a little bit about maybe something along those lines about how women might write their bios and do it in a self-deprecating way and not, you know, not in a way where we're bragging about ourselves. And I do want to say, you know, we're really focusing on women's emotions. And for all of the men who are listening and watching, don't go away because you work with women. You love women. And we want to make sure that, you know, you're getting this information too because it is very important. So let's go back just a little bit and tell us why this really is a passion of yours.
Well, it's because of my own journey and my own nature of who I am. And it was the journey of growing up in the sheep and cattle station, mm-hmm. emotional expression wasn't valued, let's right. put it that way. So I learnt to shut it down very, very young. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my experiences along my life journey accentuated that. Until I reached that point of where I was starting to shut down, where I was starting to break down, my mm-hmm. body was starting to break down, my mind and my emotions were just in total overwhelm and mm-hmm. they were breaking down as well. And externally, everything was great. Like externally, my life looked fantastic and I had no real external reason to be unhappy, mm-hmm. but I was terribly unhappy. Mm-hmm. So I went looking, I went searching for a reason why. And I found that in learning to open up and express myself more fully, I started to understand my emotions, what they were trying to tell me and how they were trying to guide me, mm-hmm. and all the things that I was doing in my life were from what I was taught, not what was innately actually me. Mm-hmm. So once I started doing that for a while and learning and growing, I got so excited about it because I saw a way that I could actually help other people. Mm-hmm. And I do work with men and women in regards to emotional leadership or mm-hmm. empathic leadership, and through their becoming more comfortable with their own nature so that they're confident and their ability to be really authentic and powerful mm-hmm. in who they are, therefore in their leadership, has been my goal basically mm-hmm. for the last 15 years. So it's been a journey, a wonderful journey with lots of ups and downs, but it's taught me so much. I will always be grateful.
Well, you know, it's what I love about it is, as I said, it applies to everyone, you know, because yeah. there are certainly women who have more, shall we say, masculine emotions, and then men who have more feminine emotions. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. Not good, not bad. That's yeah. just the way it is. And but it's particularly hard when we're wanting to be in business. And, you know, and and actually it started when we were, you know, wee little people, wee little girls. I should be very specific about that. And we were told, don't act like a girl. Don't cry. Oh, you know, and then, you know, all of those carried forward into a business setting where strength is obviously something that is a good skill for any business leader to have, you know, yes. And again, but we were told, oh, you can't cry, you can't show emotion. If you show emotion, people will think you are weak. And you know, and then the tendency is then that, you know, we as women harden ourselves. You know, and we don't exactly. show those emotions. And, you know, and I remember, you know, the nice thing about home officing is I don't, you know, don't always interact with a lot of people. Don't know if that's good or bad. But, you know, I remember when I worked in corporate America, one of my biggest fears was that I would get so emotional. And usually it was, you know, I would I would cry. Now, I didn't do it very yes. often. But, you know, that, and I've talked to so many women who feel the same way, whether it's, you know, that they got their feelings hurt or that somebody was mean or that they were angry. I mean, you know, that when I get really mad, that's you. And my husband knows, run and hide when one tear, you know. But, you know, talk to us about all these because, you know, are these stereotypes or are they true? And then let's really delve into how in the heck do we deal with this?
Sure. Well, it's what we've been taught. Like you said, mm-hmm. We've been taught what's valued in the business world is that strong persona, the strong mm-hmm. person that appears to know exactly what's going on and how to lead people because, you know, they're 100% confident and know exactly what they're doing. Now, if you look at those people under a microscope, there'd probably be at least half of them that are nothing like what they portray right. on the outside. Mm-hmm. And to portray something that is not innately us or not confident in us, so mm-hmm. if it's not natural to us, uses a lot of energy, it uses a lot of effort, and mm-hmm. Our energy starts to flag. And when that happens, we start to get stressed, we start to mm-hmm. get overwhelmed, we start to get tired. And physical illness will eventually turn up. Mm-hmm. And I see so many women that have gone down this line and ended up dropping out of corporate situations because of this, because they just can't keep up the momentum mm-hmm. because it's so unnatural for them.
Right.
Now, that in itself is such a pity because there's so many that would be fantastic leaders, especially when you have more of the empathetic abilities mm-hmm. because empathy is one of those leadership skills that we all need to be able to connect right. with each other mm-hmm. and to be able to understand each other, communicate with each other. It's very, very important. Now, when I talk about women being in this role, I've also worked with men who've also been in this role mm-hmm. where they are having to stand up and be the man mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. And it's just not true to their nature. That doesn't mean they're not strong. Mm-hmm. It's just that they have a different style. Mm-hmm. And it's the style that we've been taught that is causing so much anxiety, stress, overwhelm in the workplace, not just in the leadership and mm-hmm. workplace, but in all work and life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how many times do we have to be the strong mum or the strong wife and right. pretend we're okay mm-hmm. for everyone else? And it just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. long term, not without some repercussion.
Right. Right.
So these are the things that I love working with, and there's many things that we can actually do to change it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's start with, how do you define empathy? Because as you mentioned, that's a skill that every leader should have. And so how do you define it?
Well, I see empathy as the ability to be authentic. So mm-hmm. if we're really authentic in who we are, we're able to see other people for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that means being able to see them past the masks that we put up in our world of masks,
mm-hmm.
The confident leader mask. So we can actually see people for who they are, and we really connect with them far better through, let's call it through our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's without being sort of wishy-washy. It's about a feeling connection. Every connection must have a feeling base to it. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be a deep love feeling, but it's a feeling of some sort.
Right.
And if we're not prepared to actually have that empathetic feeling content within us, then we're just connecting on the mind
mm-hmm.
and on logic, and that doesn't form that deep connection that a lot of people are looking for in business now.
Right.
So we need to be able to have that empathetic, emotional openness to help us see people for who they are, mm-hmm. to allow them in on a more softer, intuitive level that allows people to, you know, when you have that time when you sit and you're talking to someone and they cross their legs and sort of, you know, go like this mm-hmm. and you automatically do the same thing.
Right.
We're trying to connect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this does. That's what empathy mm-hmm. does on a far deeper level. So it's vitally important. And there's been a lot of reports done on the fact that empathy and emotional mastery is one of the key requirements for entrepreneurs and business mm-hmm. leaders. So there's lots of information around about it, which is fantastic, because it never right. used to be actually validated at all.
No. You know, and I remember when I first started in the business world long ago, you really were told, you know, you cannot be emotional. You know, I remember one of my first bosses who his emotions were like here. I mean, they were off the scale, and certainly not in a good way. I mean, the man was yeah. scary. Now, not scary as in physically threatening. You know, he was just, but his rage was very close to the surface. And,
wow.
you know, and I mean, he yelled. He was just one of those people. And people said, well, you know, but he still is a good boss. No, he wasn't. because you were kind of scared. You were, you know, and yeah. you know, this language was, you know, he got pretty foul mouthed when he was right. angry. And I mean, I can look back now and realize how desperately unhappy he probably was. He was probably mm-hmm. at least 100 pounds overweight, if not more. And it was funny because it was a candy broker. So, you know, here we had all this candy.
Oh.
but, you know, he was, and probably his self-esteem was, you know, and so he overcompensated by being just angry. And, you know, and now I look back and think, you know, I feel sorry for him and I feel bad for him. But, you know, we also remember the bosses that were the opposite of that, you know, the caring, the empathy. And I hate to say it, most of those were women.
Yes. Yes. Because women have been given permission more so than men to feel feelings,
mm-hmm.
even though there's a persona of, you know, toughen up and all the rest of it.
Right.
There's a percentage of women that have been actually, they're naturally nurturing. They can't help it. Even if they're not inclined to have children,
mm-hmm.
we have a nurturing nature, and mm-hmm. and we nurture businesses, which is why we get so connected with our, mm-hmm. our own business, because we're nurturing it. We have
right.
that natural ability, and when the women of the leadership that we have around us take the time to really understand the people that are around them and have that empathetic connection, their team goes a whole way longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they can grow exponentially. And for the people, you're right, the gentleman who was your boss way back then, he was obviously in some pain mm-hmm. of some sort and frustration or something that was going on for him where he could not be fully himself. There was mm-hmm. something going on that was wrong. And the rage and the yelling, it's just not acceptable. It wasn't then, but even now it's a lot less acceptable. It would not be accepted. Mm-hmm. So people then have to contain it. Mm-hmm. And so they used to be able to just explode and, you know, oh, the boss is angry. Mm-hmm. And now we have to contain it. Mm-hmm. And that in itself causes even more problems.
Right.
So for me, anger and rage and those emotions are actually the direct precursor to passion and creativity if they're directed in the right mm-hmm. way. And that takes the conscious awareness of the emotion and what it's about, what it's trying to say, why are we angry, what's the real mm-hmm. reason, and how can we use that energy to basically kick us in the butt to do something different,
mm-hmm. right.
to make a change. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whether within ourselves or within our business or how we work, mm-hmm. it's trying to tell us something. Mm-hmm. So that's why when people say, I've got so much anger, I go, great, excellent. Right. We've got so much
something.
Energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And we can just, the techniques that I use, we just redirect it to exactly where mm-hmm. they want to make the changes in their life. And things happen really fast when you do that. Because mm-hmm. you're not holding all that energy mm-hmm. in or using all that effort to hold the mm-hmm. the emotion in. You could actually use it to be very consciously directing your life. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it's very exciting when I meet an angry person. I go, yes, let's mm-hmm. do some work. This is so cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and, you know, as I was saying, we want to harness our emotions or hide them. And anger is, you know, is definitely one of those emotions. And there are times where it's very appropriate at work. Now, you know, never physical or anything like that. I mean, you know, we're not going there. But, you know, when I worked in corporate America, I remember one time we got the word from, you know, high up that we were going to have to lay people off. And the person who was doing that was angry. I mean, they were angry. They'd been told this wasn't going to happen. They, you know, and they also knew, you know, people were going to blame them, you know, all these various things. But when we realized, oh my gosh, he really is mad. It was like, oh, okay. I mean, you know, it made it different when he was telling us the news. Yes. If he had just been stoic and, you know, and saying, you know, this is what's going to happen, it would have made us angrier. I mean, you know, but when we saw that it was upsetting him too, then it was, you know, it's, you know, it made it a little bit easier to bear the news.
Exactly. And that's the empathetic connection, isn't it? Because he was not only angry for the situation he was in, he was angry for all the people who he had to let go. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing that really is a key element in business, is that if people can see the emotion mm-hmm. that is appropriate for the situation, mm-hmm. the people look far more human and approachable and natural mm-hmm. and one of us kind of thing, not somebody mm-hmm. who's way up here and has got it all handled, mm-hmm. like, which we don't, none of us do really. Mm-hmm. So to be able to see someone's emotion and knowing what it is about mm-hmm. is a key element in the success of a business and the success of actually keeping people, the team together mm-hmm. in a business mm-hmm. and in life. I mean, mm-hmm. it's the same with our kids. If we're angry about something and the kids know what it's about mm-hmm. and it's appropriate, then there's nothing wrong with it. Like you said, it never gets out of hand. Mm-hmm. Because that is inappropriate, mm-hmm. but to use the emotion in a way that is constructive and educational, mm-hmm. Whatever it might be, then that's a powerful tool to use. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people that I've met have believed that they have to stay this same smooth mm-hmm. rhythm of, you know, acceptance of everything. But those are the people that really have never reach the pinnacles of success that mm-hmm. they want because they haven't actually used the momentum that they can get from the passion that comes after anger.
Right.
And everyone wants passion and purpose, but they don't want to start with the anger bit, accepting of anger so they can get there. So it is absolutely key. Like, how can we not connect with someone who's showing us a genuine emotion? We can't help but connect with them.
Yeah, and we mentioned, you know, not wanting to feel anger. Then, of course, the problem comes in that we start not feeling anything else. You know, we don't want to show that we're overly joyous, you know, because, again, that's not professional, you know, and all of these various things. And I mean, I've had bosses or coworkers that, you know, are that even keel, you know, nothing upsets them. And, you know, and to me, as we were saying, that's not really a good thing. Because then you wonder, well, what the heck is going on? And, you know, we won't delve too far into this, but, you know, I think a lot of times where we hear about where there are actual tragedies in a workplace, you know, where something really catastrophic happens, one of the things that sometimes people say is, well, they seemed like nothing was wrong, that nothing bothered them. And so, of course, what's happened is all of that has just built up. And then, unfortunately, it blows.
It just explodes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I was saying earlier, in holding on to all of our emotional content, we're using so much energy. Mm-hmm. And it's like a bucket.
Right.
And you know how a bucket, when you fill it up with water, it starts to have this concave, convex shape of the water, and one drop of water causes an avalanche of water out of the bucket. And that's what it's like with our emotions, isn't it? It's when we have that just one event that might be a small event, but it just causes a complete explosion. And that's when people get hurt, and that's when people can project things that sometimes are never actually able to be repaired. And that's very sad. And it's also detrimental to our business. I mean, if we want to have be the people that can be trusted and used in a way that in a leadership role, we need to be able to be fully conscious so that these explosions do not happen in a way that will harm others and ourselves. So that means basically starting to do the work on what is our emotional content and what does it look like in our daily life. How can we express ourselves daily in a way that is authentic and real without losing, like people say, oh, but if I start crying, I'm never going to stop. That's what it feels like, but it's actually not the case. If you've got the right support, if you understand what's going on, where it's coming from, and how to move through it, then it is very much a very easy process. And that's where I come in. I teach people how to move from this content where it's just so intense to here, easily, without falling into a pile of mud
and goo,
and not getting stuck in it. And that's the whole thing. People get stuck in the emotions because they don't know how to actually work with them. And I teach people how not to get stuck, is a simple way of putting it.
Well, and it when we get stuck, it does tend to be the negative. You know, we get stuck in anger. We get stuck in self-pity. You know, if we were stuck in happy, that's not really a bad thing, unless it's not appropriate. I don't know if you ever saw the old, and it was, you know, this was back in the early 70s, the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And she went, they all went to the funeral of a clown, I believe it was. And she got the giggles. I mean, she just, you know, and it was one of those, and then, I mean, pretty soon she's laughing. Well, of course, it was because it was so emotional for her. She had lost a friend, you know, and all of these things. But, you know, and so it went from, you know, she had held in that grieving to, you know, what broke out was she got the giggles. You know, and so I think a lot of times we think that, well, you know, if we start showing emotion, it's like you said, we're going to start crying and not stop. We'll start laughing and not stop. You know, all those various things.
Yeah, and we can get angry when we actually should be sad, or we can get sad when we should be angry. Mm-hmm. And it's quite common that men will get angry because they're sad, and women will get sad because they're angry. Like you said earlier, when you got angry, the tears start coming. Mm-hmm. And that's just the nature of who we are. But I've seen it quite often where people will be really angry about something, and all of a sudden they just change into a completely different emotion. And you know, it's amazing to see. And it's also shows you that all the emotions are all in a bundle together. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just I'm just angry. There's so much going on inside. Mm-hmm. And to be able to be expressive in appropriately with the emotion that you choose takes emptying of the bucket pretty much. Mm-hmm. And conscious working with the emotions, so that when you're allowing the gate to open, it's not the first emotion that's sitting there like the giggling that comes out. It's actually the one that is what you truly feel.
Right.
And once you've got that handled, then it actually sets you free in many, many ways. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's the giggles when you're sad or angry. I used to do that myself when I was a lot younger. There was a lot of times where there was a sad event and I just, this burst of laughter would come out and I'd feel so awful about it.
Right. And then that made it worse.
And I, and then I go, then I start to get sad, and then I would cry, and it was just like such a mess. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's what we do.
Right, right. You know, you know, there are times where we can't show that emotion. You know, we're having to be the strong person, whatever. But then we can defer it. You know, I was watching a television program last night where a mother had gone to be with her son who had been very seriously injured. And it's a military program. So, you know, they're both, you know, all these stiff upper lip, you know, and all of this. And she was being supportive, and he was being, you know, all brave and tough. And then, you know, and you could see, you know, her great acting. I mean, you know, her lip was quivering just a bit, you know, but she still, she was tough. She was getting through. And then she went off in a corner where nobody saw her and cried. You know, and we've all had that happen. I mean, you know, we've gone off and had our meltdowns. And as you said, sometimes it's a meltdown over something totally unrelated. And you're like, why the heck am I crying that I couldn't get the lid off my soda?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And the thing is, with when we have that stiff upper lip and we're trying to appear to be the strong person, especially a lot of mothers do this for their children and things like that. And, you know, ultimately what it does is it teaches the kids to be a stiff upper lip.
Right.
Like, if they're not mum being authentic in her emotions, then they learn that subconsciously that emotions are not okay. Mm-hmm. And that starts the trend of basically them hanging in there for the rest of their life, trying not to, you know, lose it. So for us to be able to allow the emotion to come through and to share it with people without having judgment of it, without feeling shame, then that's teaching a whole new generation of how to be expressive in a powerful way, not in a victim way, not at victim to the emotion, but to have it as a genuine expression of themselves.
Right.
And I think that's what most people are looking for, is just to have to be genuine, to be able to be real and to be accepted as that. And that's that two-way street where when someone is doing that, expressing themselves like that with you, to be able to hold the space of acceptance without judgment or putting a story on them and go, oh, wow, they must be having a bad day, because that's, you know, normally they never show any emotion or the boss is having a bad day today because the tears welled up in their eyes about some particular thing that had gone wrong. Well, maybe that's okay. Maybe it's actually okay to be able to do that. It doesn't mean we're losing it. It just means we're human.
Right. You know, and you mentioned something that I think is very important, and it's that we can't be judgmental. Just because we wouldn't react like that in this situation doesn't mean it's wrong. It's funny, the people who've been part of the program listening for a long time know that I have had some major health issues. And somebody asked me the other day, you must cry a lot. And I said, nah, not really. Now, I mean, part of it, I mean, I have one of those sunny, bubbly natures, and, and I'm making the surgical crew laugh before we start, and all these various things. But, I have cried. I've cried several times. But that person went, oh, you didn't cry? I mean, they immediately went this, and I'm like, and part of it, I'll say, I probably was, and a little Pollyanna, I'm not going to admit there's something wrong and all of those things. But, if someone is crying, if they are angry, if they're whatever, it's their emotion, and we need to not judge them for it.
Exactly. And how we express, like you've just said, some people would have gone into that situation and been very, very sad or scared or emotional in that sense. And whereas there's other people like yourself who look at it from a point of view of, well, it is what it is and, we'll make the best of it. Mm-hmm. Neither are wrong or right. And I think this is the key point, is a judgment on how people express themselves. Mm-hmm. Is actually a judgment also on ourselves. Because if we're judging someone else and how they're doing it, we're not allowing ourselves to be like that.
Right.
So that makes it wrong. And if anything is wrong, then it puts a lock on it.
Mm-hmm.
We can't actually then express it.
Right.
So, it's the same. Like you said, judgment of emotions is bad either way. When I say bad for us, it's not bad. Mm-hmm. It's actually just really uncomfortable for us and lacks the ability to then have that empathetic connection, because judgment straight away just puts up a block, and there's no way anyone's going to get through that or be able to connect in any meaningful way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's with relationships, not just work relationships, personal relationships. If we're in that mode, then our relationships will definitely start to have stress happening, because relationships are about being open and sharing and connecting. And if we're not prepared to accept others and ourselves in that way, it makes it very, very difficult to have that really deep, meaningful relationship that we're looking for.
Right. And judgment is, of course, an emotion. And, and so, again, we need to recognize, okay, we might feel it, but then, okay, what are we going to do about it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because, there's judgment's put into one barrel, and there's actually two sorts of judgment. Mm-hmm. There's normal judgment, which is good for us. We make judgment calls every day, all day.
Mm-hmm.
Is it safe to go down that alley? Should I eat that today?
Mm-hmm.
Is it safe to be around that person? They're all normal judgments that we make, which we have to make. It's the judgment that has like a stigma to it.
Mm-hmm.
When we make it wrong, make the person wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's the judgment that is detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we do it.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, recognizing that we're doing it and allowing ourselves to actually learn from that about us, about ourselves. Because a lot of this we can't change anyone else. We can only change someone else by changing ourselves and our own behaviors and beliefs in ourselves and how we are in our expressive nature. That changes the people around us. Because you know what it's like? You have a leader who's really open and interested in what's going on for people in the team and that sort of thing. They are far more connected than someone that walks in and go, right, today we're doing this, 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 and this, and we have to have these outcomes and get to it kind of thing. People just sort of, run and do what they've got to do, rather than actually care about the leader, who also is just another human being, and maybe they would like to actually, you know, say, well, today was my wife's birthday, and, you know, so I'm leaving early, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's that holistic sharing of ourselves mm-hmm. and feeling confident and safe in doing that. That's not going to be rejected or judged mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever it might be in certain circumstances. So, yeah, there's things that judgment is good, keeps us mm-hmm. safe, and other judgment keeps us separate.
Right. Well, and, you know, it's interesting because one of the things that personally I have found is you know, that sometimes when I get a little judgy, it's a sensitive subject for me. You know, maybe yeah. it's how yeah. someone dresses or how they speak, or, you know, when I'm on Facebook and somebody uses bad grammar, you know, or typos like that, because that's one of those just things for me. But yeah. I love it. I was looking on your website, and one of the things that you have is you've got these great articles, and you've got ways to be more confident. And to me, this is, yeah. it's all tied together. Sometimes I get real judgy about somebody because it's an area where I'm not confident. You know, maybe that's, you know, like dressing, you know. So I see, you know, say a young woman, she's dressed in a way that I go, ew, you know, and I disapprove of, right, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah. you know, the little smart part of my brain kicks in and says, oh my gosh, isn't it cool that she's so self-confident that she dresses like that? And it's like, okay, she's also 20 years younger, 50 pounds slimmer, you know, all these various things. So even, you know, I'm not going to dress that way no matter what. But, you know, so let's talk about confidence, because to me that really is one of the things that ties in, is how can we work on being more confident ourselves?
Yes. Oh, well, confidence, I think one of the keys for me that I see for people who want to be more confident is very much about knowing themselves.
Okay.
So knowing what's okay for them. And that's basically, I remember, because when I was up until around about 35, I had no confidence, real confidence whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I would pretend I did. Mm-hmm. And,
oh yeah, we get that inside, stiff upper lip, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. But inside, I was shaking like a leaf, and mm-hmm. I felt like I had no idea what I was doing. Mm-hmm. Now, the way that I changed that was to start to accept myself for who I was, mm-hmm. and to do the things that I wanted to do until I grew confident with them. So mm-hmm. it's like, a lot of people wait to feel confident before they do something, and quite often the confidence comes with the acknowledgement that you've achieved something, right. or that you've got through something hard and come out mm-hmm. the other side. Okay, I'm confident with that now. Okay, what's next? Mm-hmm. So we build and build and build and build with that ability. And I think you get to a certain stage, especially through getting confident with your emotional mastery, mm-hmm. that you can actually feel confident about anything that you want to do before you do it. Mm-hmm. But to start with, you've got to do the achievement side of things. It's like, okay, I want to be confident in doing public speaking, let's mm-hmm. say, which is everybody's nightmare right. usually. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you've got to pretend until you get there. Mm-hmm. So you do all the prep work. You mm-hmm. do everything that you possibly can. You practice and practice and practice. And then you go out and you stand up in front of the people, and you look out and everything falls out of your head, and you just mm-hmm. go, oh, dear.
Right.
And that's, yeah. Yeah, and that's when you actually know that's when you pick up your cue cards, because they're the ones that are going to actually keep you on track. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you do that talk mm-hmm. and it's received well. The next time you walk out there and you look out there, you might not go, oh dear, you go, oh yeah, that's all those people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're fine for the first two cue cards, and then you might need a bit of a tip. So you build and you build and you build. Anyone who expects themselves to be perfect at something straight away is using a high expectation. Mm-hmm. And one of the sayings that I have is expectation is a joy killer.
Mm.
So any expectation that you have on yourself will stop any sort of joy coming mm-hmm. through. It's just so onto it. You're so wanting to be a certain way and you're not allowing anything to be natural. So you can't feel any joy. You can't go up and halfway through the talk and the speech that you're doing, you can't feel any sort of joy at going, wow, they're really hearing me. They're mm-hmm. laughing at the right points and going, oh, at the right points and all the rest of it. It's just like, okay, hang in there, I'm okay, mm-hmm. rather than actually, you know, feeling like it's okay to be joyful. So mm-hmm. expectation is one of those things. It's great to get you to do things to mm-hmm. a certain point, but to have expectation too far and comparative expectation, mm-hmm. it just keeps everything really numb. And mm-hmm. So, you know, that's something we've got to look out for within ourselves.
Right. Well, and so many times we've set our expectations so high that no matter what, we're not going to meet it. You know, public speaking, you know, I'm going to be able to present in front of 10,000 people. Well, if you can't present in front of 10, how are you going to be able to present in front of 10,000? And, you know, and so it's okay, I'm going to be able to present in front of 10 and then 50 and then, you know, and so it's about reasonable expectations.
Exactly. Yes. And people, I don't know how many times I've been told, well, such and such, you know, went from zero to 100 mm-hmm. overnight and they became well known and all the rest of it. And I say, really? Have you actually looked into their background and see how long they've been working on what they're doing mm-hmm. to actually get to where they are? Mm-hmm. It wasn't zero to 100 overnight. Mm-hmm. It was actually zero to 100 over 10 years. Mm-hmm. But we didn't see the first 9.5 years mm-hmm. of what was going on. Mm-hmm. So we have to be really realistic in putting people on a pedestal or trying to compete or compare mm-hmm. with other people who may be successful at what they do. We don't know how much work they've put in to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, be realistic. Mm-hmm. You know, don't give ourselves such a hard time. That just makes life really hard.
Right. When you mention comparing, I think that's a lot of times what happens in business is we get a mentor, and mentors are good. We need mentors, mm-hmm. you know, but
definitely.
You know, we see that leader and we want to emulate them. And again, we're not recognizing everything that went into it, you know, and there's a variety mm-hmm. of things, you know, obviously experience, education, all these things. But a good portion of it, we probably never know. I mean, you know, you see the people exactly. who are great leaders because, you know, they had to be the head of their family when they were 16 years old, you know, or whatever. I mean, you know, we don't see all of those other things. So, again, it comes back to expectations. You know, we don't mm-hmm. know what's happened to them. And, you know, and so when we try to emulate them, we can't. And, you know, then we come crashing down.
Exactly. And it, as we said, the expectation is way too high. It's one of the things I always say is we have to learn to chop the wood and carry the water first.
Mm-hmm.
And it's those basic things that we have to actually take care of first. And then from there, we build on that. So it's build our foundations mm-hmm. really, really well, not only in business but in life
mm-hmm.
and the foundation of who we are. And because if you build the foundations really well, you can't go backwards.
Right.
Because they're really solid.
Mm-hmm.
So you can only take incremental steps forward mm-hmm. or upwards or whatever direction that you want to go in. But to do it in a way that keeps adding to the foundation mm-hmm. in a really solid way. And that means no false expectation, mm-hmm. no putting people up on pedestals, no over arrogance, ego arrogance, let's call it, being really real. And they're the people who win long term, because mm-hmm. a lot of times people will really rise to the top really quickly and then you see them fall. And it's so sad because they haven't done the foundation right. building
mm-hmm.
of what they need to do to maintain themselves, their business, their life, their relationships mm-hmm. and then disaster happens when some really big event happens. They've got nothing to hold them stable mm-hmm. while the earth shakes, so to speak, mm-hmm. and everything tumbles down.
Right.
So I always say chop the wood and carry the water first mm-hmm. and keep doing that all the way through, and you can't fall down then. It, mm-hmm. it always stays stable.
Yeah. Right. Well, now, Liana, one of the things I was thinking about was, you know, we're told these emotions are bad, you know, or too much of them or whatever. And you, how do you work with people when they come to you and say, I cry too much. I get too emotional. I get too angry. You know, because as you were saying, we still want to have those emotions. But, you know, how do you work with people?
Okay, so when people come to me and they're in a state of overwhelm from some emotion or whatever is going on for them, let's say, for example, if someone comes to me and they're just really sad, they've been a happy person most mm-hmm. of their life and all of a sudden, you know, something's happened in life and they've just had this event and what it's done is open up this whole mm-hmm. bucket of sadness. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I can actually see what's underneath it. That's part okay. of my intuitive ability. So mm-hmm. I can actually feel other people's emotions. Mm-hmm. And so I can actually know what's really going on the inside. Mm-hmm. So that allows me to ask them the right questions to dig deeper underneath the surface emotion, find out what's really going on right down deep in their heart. And get them at the understanding of where it's come from. So we need to have the mental and emotional understanding so that we can actually honor that and learn from it. Because quite often we'll have a mental loop that goes with the emotion. Mm-hmm. And that mental loop will be the one that it's like, I'm not good enough or
I can't do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And that causes us quite often to go into inertia and we can't mm-hmm. take any productive action. So if we know that cycle, then we can actually consciously change it. Mm. We can see when we're actually doing the cycle, mm-hmm. okay, I'm in that cycle again. All right, so it's telling me I need to take action. What's the first small thing that I can do to step out of this cycle? Mm-hmm. And it could be something like going for a walk outside mm. or writing that email that you've been avoiding mm-hmm. or whatever it is, one small action that's achievable mm-hmm. and it's like the confidence thing. It builds and builds and builds. Mm-hmm. And that's basically how I work with people. It's about teaching them what the wisdom is that is in the emotion, because mm-hmm. all emotions have some sort of story or wisdom that is trying to get us to be more authentic in who we are, mm-hmm. trying to be freer. Mm-hmm. And if we're freer in our emotional content, we are freer in life.
Right.
Like things flow better. Our body actually works better when we allow our emotions to flow more mm-hmm. readily. We get better. Our illnesses are not quite so intense and mm-hmm. the stress in our muscles relaxes mm-hmm. and we don't get the headaches and things right. like that we would normally have. Mm-hmm. So the way that this all works is about conscious awareness. So I offer people the awareness. Mm-hmm. I offer them the self-responsibility of how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So I give them the tools that they can use for the rest of their life to go through every time something happens and mm-hmm. they get an emotion, because we don't want to get rid of emotions. They're right. there for a reason. Mm-hmm. But we need to know how to work with them. So they need mm-hmm. tools to actually do that. And that's mm-hmm. what I teach people, is how to use these particular tools that I've got to actually then keep moving forward, and learning about themselves, learning about life, learning about emotions, and becoming that empathic leader that they mm-hmm. really want to be, and it's who they want to be. So right. they're not trapped in that box. You know, mm-hmm. we have a box that we sort of sit in. We drop the sides of the box and we expand out mm-hmm. and explore a little bit into the unknown.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that we've been talking about, obviously, is that men have different leadership styles than women. So let's explore that a little bit more. You know, because they both have good, but you know, let's just talk about that a little bit more.
Sure. So one of the main characteristics, difference between men and women is the way our brains work. And okay. I'm sure people have probably seen, there's a YouTube video about how the brain works. And women's brains run across our hemispheres. And mm-hmm. when it does that, it goes through the emotional center. And the emotional center is where we store our memories and our stories mm-hmm. around the memories. So every thought that we have will have some sort of emotional content attached to it and a story. So we go from A to Z by doing A, B, C, D and telling mm-hmm. the whole story along the way. Men have their brain works in a way where it's more lateral, so it's backwards and forwards. Mm-hmm. It doesn't cross over the hemisphere as much unless they want it to. Mm-hmm. And they go from A to Z without the inner content bit. Mm-hmm. They don't actually have to go through their emotional center. So they're far more logical. And that's the difference in leadership. And the women have been expected to lead in a way that is logical, like a man's brain works, mm-hmm. because that was the most of the leaders were men. So right. it was that was the examples that we had. So mm-hmm. that must mean that's how it works. But in actual fact, women do it completely opposite, but can still have that really strong leadership mm-hmm. faculty, just in a slightly different way. Mm-hmm. And they both are absolutely valid. Mm-hmm. It's just about allowing each style to be accepted mm-hmm. and to be valued in different ways. So that sometimes women can choose to use the logical man brain mm-hmm. and sometimes a man can use the creative, more emotionally contented mm-hmm. brain. And that's it. It's a conscious choice. Right. And really that's what all of this is about, is actually making it all a conscious choice mm-hmm. because it's all valid. It's all of value. And men are just far more, okay, get in there and do the action, mm-hmm. get things sorted. And women see the big picture and want to get all the details sorted and what about this, this, this and this. And so their trajectory may not be like straight to the point, mm-hmm. but they still get there, but in a way that is a slightly different style.
Right.
And, you know, nothing wrong with either, mm-hmm. just different.
Right. You know, and you know, it comes back to that judgment thing. I mean, you know, how many times have we said, oh, well, a woman can't be a good leader because, you know, yeah. a woman can't be a president because, you know, and, or, you know, let's take it on another extreme. Women tend to be, when they're leaders, they tend to lead more, organizations that are, say, nonprofit. So philanthropic, the feeling type of organizations, whereas the men are the leaders of big industry and all of those things. You know, it's mm. it's what I love is that it is finally crossing over. You know, we're seeing more female leadership, but you know, how do we get more leaders? What do we need to do to start helping that along?
Well, I think it's like the programs that I offer. Mm-hmm. I've got a 12-week breakthrough program, which is an intensive program where people learn to use their emotional faculties in a way that mm-hmm. is a driver mm-hmm. and brings out the passion and makes the businesses far more successful mm-hmm. and far more productive. And that's really the key thing in stepping up in leadership, is to be able to work from all of our faculties mm-hmm. because if you're not doing that, then you're only half the person.
Right.
And to get more female leaders, we need to actually validate that what they have innately mm-hmm. is of value mm-hmm. and to allow the strength of them to come through more naturally. Because when women are trying to be leaders in the man style, they don't appear powerful.
Right. Or they called that B word.
Yes, exactly. It's too hard. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's really not healthy for anybody. Mm-hmm. So teaching women to be leaders in their own natural style mm-hmm. is going to bring them far more into the leadership roles mm-hmm. than trying to teach them to be a leader from the male perspective, which mm-hmm. just does not work for them.
Right.
Not consistently, not every day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, allowing women to actually find their own power, and to do that means to be able to be fully authentic, mm-hmm. value who they are as a female and as an emotional being without being a victim to any of the emotions. It's mm-hmm. about using emotions for power and stepping up in life with passion and creativity.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you know, you mentioned you've got seminars and trainings, and clearly you work remotely or with people, you know, who, you know, and we were talking before the program that you do an awful lot of your work via Zoom and things like that. But how do people find you and connect with you to, you know, to find out more?
Well, they can find me on my Facebook, which and also on my website. So let's start with my website. So my website is www.lianaallison, which is LianaAllison.com.au. They can also email me at contact@lianaallison.com.au or search for me on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's pretty easy, Liana Allison on Facebook. My business is the Institute of Empathic Leadership. Mm-hmm. So I have a Facebook page with that. And, yeah, just make contact. I would love for people to reach out and ask me questions and just see if I can help them in any way. It'd be fantastic.
Great. Well, and I mentioned that, you know, you've got lots of great resources on your website and you know, and you know, people are always now, you know, you should write a book. So if you write a book, we'll definitely talk with you again, but I, you know, love to have you on as a guest again, because I think this is something that's very important. And, you know, we need to recognize, as we've been saying, that, you know, emotions are not bad, you know, and we need to feel them. It's exactly. Okay to feel them. Yeah. You know, the word appropriate is, you know, one of those things that, you know, yeah, there's, you know, you feel them at appropriate times in appropriate ways and still recognize that, okay, something's going to happen and we're going to roll our eyes at them. But, you know, it is something.
We're all human.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, but we need to explore this as women, we really need to be helping other women, especially young girls. I mean, you know, when I see young girls who are leaders or are learning to be leaders, I'm just in awe. You know, they are absolutely phenomenal. You know, all these people who fuss and carry on about millennials, you know, and some of the best women leaders that I have met are millennials. And maybe it's because they have been raised differently and all those various things. But, you know, it is something that we need to, again, not be judgy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, there's the younger generation has got a lot to offer. Mm-hmm. And I think if we stop learning from everybody around us, including the younger generation, mm-hmm. then we're in big trouble.
Right.
Because, you know, they see things differently mm-hmm. and they will actually show us a way of being that will be different to what we would have even thought of. So mm-hmm. everybody has something to teach us, and I think we just need to be open to that.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Well, folks, be sure to check out Liana's website, which is, again, lianaallison.com.au, because she is in Australia, so don't forget the .au. You'll find her on Facebook, all those various things. So, Liana, what piece of information or tip would you like to leave our listeners and our viewers with?
I think the biggest thing is to, if everyone can just sit and be with themselves for 5 minutes of the day and mm-hmm. ask the simple question of, how am I feeling right now?
Mm.
And if they do that, it's that journey inwards where they mm-hmm. start to actually really get to know themselves on an emotional level, so that that's not just covered up. It's about mm-hmm. bringing it to the surface so that they can really start that journey of self-discovery
mm-hmm.
and so simply, how am I feeling right now?
Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, I have been having a wonderful time talking with Liana Allison. Can't wait to do it again. I'm Deb Creer, and until next time, everyone have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer. Join us next time for more real-life stories and techniques to power up your business.
You've been listening to C-Suite Radio. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.